Well, welcome to Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. Today, we welcome you. The number to call is 1-800-677-9377. Again, that number is 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Today is November 22nd, 2013. It's the 50th anniversary of one of the most solemn days in American history, the day when John F. Kennedy was assassinated by the gunshot of Lee Harvey Oswald right here in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
And for many, many years, Dallas was known as the city that killed the president. That's an unfair statement, but
yes,
that's how people from around the country viewed Dallas for many years. But today there's lots going on here in Dallas to commemorate that very solemn day. I think many politicians are here and to talk about that day in history. And I know TV this particular week, almost every single night,
yes,
something else has been shown about the assassination. For me, I was 5 years old when it took place, but it was my first kind of early awareness of the world around me. You know, I lived in my little box and, you know, life was good, and I loved to play sports, and I loved to play, and I was in first grade, and, you know, everything was good. And then these images come on the television screen of all, you know, the shooting and then the funeral procession, you know, and everybody lining the streets of Washington, D.C. as the casket is being carried, drawn on, you know, by horse on a cart. And it just was one of those things that awakened me to the bigness of the world,
yes,
and some of the evil that is out there. Where were you when that happened?
I was in school. We were just doing our classwork stuff, and then the principal interrupted everything, and they actually played a news broadcast over the PA system. We never heard the radio in school because that was distracting. We're here to learn. We're not here to listen to the radio. And they were playing some of this stuff, and they were announcing it, and they dismissed the whole school to go out to the playground for a while. Just, I guess the teachers were trying to get together and figure out how they were going to deal with it. And so we're just milling around out there, not knowing really what's going on. And then they had us all come back in and gave us more details and tried to play it down so the kids wouldn't panic and all of that. But what I remember the most was the Sunday morning after that, watching the news, you know, and when Lee Harvey Oswald was shot right there on TV. Well, when you're 11 years old and have never even seen something like that before, that gets your attention.
Yes, it does.
It's very sobering. And then, the next week, like you said, when they had the procession, with the funeral, all that, and that horse without a rider with the boots mounted backwards in the stirrups, I never forgot that.
Yeah. Images that stick, yeah, with you, just indelibly imprinted upon your mind. And it was a very tragic day.
Yeah.
I mean, sad, solemn, and you know, many, many people just wept and not knowing what's going to happen and what's going to happen in the country. And it was just and it was the start of many other tragic events in that,
yes,
particular decade.
Yes, yeah, the 60s were a tough,
yes,
tough decade.
Yes, they were. On that same day, two other people died. C.S. Lewis, famous philosopher and teacher and writer, died. Many of you have probably read his book, Mere Christianity, or his series, The Chronicles,
uh-huh,
of Narnia. If you hadn't, I certainly recommend you doing so, especially,
yes,
Mere Christianity. It's one of the single most important apologetic works that it's ever been done. It,
yes,
really just lays out the logic of the gospel, especially about Jesus. Who is he? Certainly the scriptures don't lead us to think that he was just a great moral teacher. If you read what the Bible actually says, you can only come to three conclusions: that he was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. And C.S. Lewis masterfully lays that out, yes, and just shows the logic behind it. And that is just one of the greatest Christian works that has ever been written. The other guy that died that same day was Aldous Huxley, who wrote A Brave New World and certainly had no connection to God and certainly was writing against.
Two people no more opposite than C.S. Lewis and Aldous Huxley.
Absolutely. So a very interesting day 50 years ago, yeah, November 22nd, 1963. If you want to call in today's broadcast and recount your recollections of that day, we would certainly welcome that at 1-800-677-9377. Or if you have other questions about the Bible, about your journey with Christ, about forgiveness of sins, about righteousness in Christ, or how to live the Christian life, we would love to field those questions as well. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377, where we're going to go to John listening to us in New York City on WMCA. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing out there, gentlemen?
We're doing well.
Yeah, doing great.
Listen, you guys teach the Bible so nice. You got to come to New York area.
Well, we're planning to do that at some point, hopefully next year.
I'll be waiting because I want to hear your teaching. You guys are fantastic talking about the Lord, because you are so on the mark about Christ and about his life and resurrection. And it's so simple, the basic, walking with Jesus and loving him. And we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, you know. And I'll tell you, there's nothing I can do without him. I'm nothing with him, and I'm nothing without him. It's all in Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it is. I just want to tell you that I have on me about three or four interpretations of the Bible. I got the NIV, the King's, and I think the Amplified Bible, and all three of them are fantastic. So I just want to tell you, I know you had a brother calling the other day saying, well, you can't have all those kinds. They make it easy for me to understand the Scriptures.
Well, absolutely. Well, and the bottom line, John, you know, the Word of God was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. When Paul penned his letter to the Romans, for example, he penned it in the Greek language. That was sent to folks in Rome, copies were made, distributed, and that's how it was passed. But those original writings, we don't know where they are. No one has found those original writings. We've simply found manuscripts, copies of those original writings that date, the earliest dates are around 100 years after the time they were probably written, which is phenomenal. I mean, that is just amazing stuff. And we have just numerous, I think 4,000 to 5,000 of those manuscripts, and scholars have compiled them together and come up with, you know, one cohesive manuscript by which they translate into various languages. And, you know, the Bible has been translated into every language on the planet. I think there's just a few languages that don't have the Bible in that particular language at this point in time. So these manuscripts are very, very important. And what we see from those is those that were found that were dated around 100-150 years after the time of Christ, and those that were found that were dated around 1000 AD, there's very few differences, variations in those manuscripts. So God preserved those pretty well, and it's from those that we get our English translations, the King James Version, the New International Version, the New Living Translation, and all of those translations are wonderful, and I think we should take advantage of all of those. I mean, read each one and kind of get a broad view of what each passage, each chapter, each book is really saying. But really, as far as interpretation is concerned, it's not the words written on the page. It's the Holy Spirit taking those words and making them known to us. When Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" to his disciples, Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, this truth has been revealed to you by my Father. It was spiritual truth revealed spiritually. And that's the way we have to understand the Word of God. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, no eye is seen, no ear is heard, no mind is conceived of the things that God has given freely to us. Those are made known to us by the Spirit. So God has given us His Spirit to make known to us the meaning of the Word of God. So as we go into the Bible, whatever translation we're using, we must go into the Bible with a dependent attitude, an attitude of trust and reliance upon the Holy Spirit to take Amen. These words of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us.
Amen. That's exactly it. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not our own.
That's exactly right.
And that's the truth. So I just want to encourage you guys. You're doing fantastic out there. Look, you can't please everybody. Jesus couldn't please everybody, so we can't please everybody. Every once in a while, you're going to have somebody calling in. They're not going to be satisfied with this and that. But you guys are on the mark talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him, saving souls today, winning people over to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do today more than anything else. Touching people with the love of God. The love of God through His Son, Jesus. I mean, to be saved.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I mean, people out there who are lost. I was lost too, but I'm found. I was blind, but I could see. I was dead, but I'm alive. And this is because of Jesus. If it wasn't for Him, I'd be dead in my sins. Who knows where I'd be right now? But the thing is, if people got more of a hold on Christ and gave Jesus one chance, their life would turn around to 360, just like mine was. But this world is so messed up right now, they can't see the light. So we have to go out there and show them the light. Because in Matthew says, we are the light of the world. And we have to shine. Through this crazy mixed up world, we got to shine today. And I'll tell you, you guys are talking about the basic gospel, talking about Christ. You're doing a phenomenal job. So don't give up and don't be discouraged. And I can't wait for you guys to come to New York.
Well, thank you, John. We can't wait to get there.
Much.
Can't wait to see you as well. So we appreciate the kind words and the encouragement today.
You
keep trusting the Lord.
Future, and God bless you, and may the funds come in and everybody's needs be met. And if I don't speak to you again, enjoy your fantastic holiday.
Oh, thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Let's go to the Bronx and talk to Glenn listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. You hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you just fine.
Okay, yeah, my question is from Matthew 7:21-23, where Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's pretty clear. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It seems to me maybe that it wasn't the fact that they were prophesying in his name or casting out devils in his name, but that he never knew them and that they were workers of iniquity. Who are these people that Jesus is saying these to? And, you know, I mean,
well, verse 15 of that chapter gives us the answer. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. False prophets are going to be out there among you, and they're going to be delivering to you a different message, a different gospel. Beware of them." And, you know, false prophets don't reveal themselves as false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. So they look good on the outside. They look like they may be bringing a message of truth, but they're not bringing truth at all. And then when it comes their time to be judged, they're going to make a case based on their works, not based on the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what this passage reveals. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we? And I think you need to circle that word we. So their case for entry into heaven is based upon them and not Jesus. Did not we do this? So my work should be good enough to get me in. And Jesus says, no, 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 I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. So they were looking for a works-based salvation, and there's no way to be saved through works. It is by grace, through faith and that's just the way it is.
Well, let me just ask you, I mean, we are, the Bible does say that there are works appointed unto us, you know, from God.
But so those works flow out of a heart of faith in Jesus, faith expressing itself in love, abiding in the vine, allowing Jesus Christ to produce fruit in and through us. Those are the works that we are appointed to, works rooted and grounded in faith in Jesus Christ. These are works of the flesh. These are works of human effort. They're not attached to the vine of Jesus Christ.
Okay, let me
show you something here, Glenn.
Yes.
Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is, I think, just the best chapter on salvation in the entire Bible. And it's a brutal way in which Paul starts this chapter. He gives a description of us, of you, of me, before we knew Jesus. And so this is a description of the lost world. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's a pretty brutal description of lost humanity, isn't it? It's pretty bleak.
Yes.
But there's some key things to note. We followed the ways of this world. Now, if I build a case on my works, what are my works going to be indicative of? The ways of this world. Why? Because that's what I followed when I was a lost person. I followed the ways of this world, and I lived to gratify the cravings of my sinful flesh. So if I lived to gratify the cravings of my sinful flesh, anything that I tried to do good that would look righteous and holy would still be sin. Why? Because I'm really only doing it to gratify a craving of my sinful nature. That's why the Bible says that salvation cannot be of works. Why? Because the only works that we could produce as lost people are controlled, motivated, directed by sin and the ways of this world. So if I'm standing before God and trying to plead my case based on my good works, it just isn't going to stand. But once I've come to Christ by faith, I've had a heart change, Christ has come to live in me, I have His Spirit living in me, and I am now going to be led, controlled, motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. And what flows from me are now going to be good works. Why? Because the source of those works is Jesus Christ Himself. See the big difference?
Yes, I hate to take up so much time, but I have an example. For example, fasting. I do a lot of fasting, and the reason I'm doing it is to draw closer to God. At least that's my thinking. But sometimes I'm concerned that I'm fasting for the wrong reason, and that God's not going to be pleased with it. So that's my dilemma.
Well, the Bible says it's faith that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is what pleases God. Are you trusting in Christ's finished work on the cross for your forgiveness of sins? Are you trusting in the resurrection of Christ for your life everlasting? If so, that's faith, and that pleases God. And it pleases Him so much that He declares you to be righteous in His sight, and He declares you to be a child of God, and He names you as a beneficiary in His will. You are a participant, a beneficiary of the new covenant, all the promises of the new covenant. So it's faith that pleases God. Now, you can fast from a heart of faith. You can fast from a heart of, human effort and fleshly effort. And it's the motivation of the heart that's going to determine if it's what God's looking for or not. Usually when you're fasting, you're not thinking about you at all. That's what Isaiah 58 says. You know, if you're fasting, you're not thinking about you, you're thinking about others. You're so absorbed in the love of God, you're so consumed by the love of God, that you're just thinking about the needs of others and trying to be involved with them and help connect them to the love of Christ or help meet their physical needs. And you get so involved in that you don't even think about your own physical needs. That's what genuine fasting is all about. And yet we try to make it as a spiritual discipline, as a way to draw closer to God. If you're in Christ, you can't draw any closer. He's right there in you. So recognize that, Richard.
Yeah, so...
Okay, thank you.
What we're really talking about here is the difference between behavior and relationship. Now, when we look at our own works, we have trouble figuring out if we were doing them by faith or by our own strength. And that's why we're called to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's why Jesus said to those people that he's talking about in Matthew, "I never knew you." Has nothing to do with their works. They didn't know him. He didn't know them. There was no basis for a saving relationship. And so that's what we're really getting at here. We're not telling you to stop fasting or to do more fasting or anything else. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and let the Spirit prompt you to do what he's going to prompt you to do, and then take that step of faith and do it, and then thank him all the way along for the fact that you're forgiven, you're saved, there's no condemnation, that you've been declared righteous, and all the rest of it.
Thank you guys very much.
Hey, thanks for your call, Glenn. Excellent question today.
Yes.
We certainly appreciate the question and the conversation. You hold the line, and let me send you something just to say thanks for being on today's broadcast. You hold on. Love questions like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
And what we really want to do as a part of this broadcast is try to get to the heart.
Uh-huh.
That's what Jesus was doing in his ministry. And a lot of the hard teachings of Jesus, and you read through those Gospels and you're like, oh my, this is worse than the Ten Commandments. I mean, you know, in C.S. Lewis, that was one of his famous quotes. If you think the Ten Commandments is hard, how about the Sermon on the Mount? Try that on for size. I mean, that will just bury you. Why? Because you can't live up to that. Why? Because that's a heart issue. And Jesus wants to peel back the layers and get to the heart of what's going on. And that's what this broadcast is all about. That's what the basic gospel is all about. It penetrates through all of those exterior layers and gets to the very heart, because it's there that we need change. It's there that we need life. And so that's why I appreciated Glenn's conversation so much. It allowed us with him to just really get to the heart of the matter. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us today. We appreciate John and Glenn for calling the broadcast and asking their questions. We have a wonderful offer this month. It's a three-message CD series called Profiles in Character. We want to send it to you as a way of saying thanks for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on people just like you to stand with us, to partner with us in this gospel ministry. A gift of any amount, $10, $100, $1,000, will make a huge difference in the lives of people all around the world. So we encourage you today to join the Basic Gospel family. You can do so by calling right now, 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Talk to Billy. She's just a delightful lady, and she will just lead you through that process of how to contribute to Basic Gospel. Or you can go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. There is a support link right in the middle of the upper portion of the page. Just click that and follow all the instructions. Well, thank you again for joining us on today's program. We'll be back again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.